Welcome to the My Money podcast number 28 from helpmetosave.com. I'm Karen Bryan, editor of Help Me to Save, where you'll find tips to help you save more money and live well. In this edition of the My Money podcast, I'm going to discuss various ways that you can improve your finances. Now, 2013 isn't looking like a great year for UK consumer finances. Interest rates on saving accounts are falling. I reckon they've fallen 1 or 2% since spring last year. So it's difficult to get a decent return on your money. You're lucky if the interest rate you get, especially if you're paying tax on the interest, is equal to inflation. So it's difficult to maintain the spending power of your savings, never mind actually increase the value of your savings. Many people who are working have had pay freezes or rises lower than inflation for the last couple of years. And there's also auto-enrolment to the new National Employment Savings Trust, which will see some workers' take-home pay decreasing. If you weren't paying into a pension before, your employer may be starting auto-enrolment, which means you'll go into a pension scheme, you'll pay a percentage of your monthly pay, and the employer will pay as well, which is a good thing in the long run if you're going to have an additional pension, but it means you'll have less money in your pocket at present. I don't see inflation falling much in the next year or two. I think food prices are due to go up because of all the unseasonal dodgy weather we had last year, harvests down, vegetable crops ruined. So I reckon inflation is going to stay around where it is, and I don't even believe the official inflation figures. I sometimes think things we buy are costing a lot more than a 3% increase on last year. The only respite, really, is the rise in personal tax thresholds from April 2013, announced in the Chancellor's Autumn Statement. So you get to keep a bit more of your earnings, your income, before you have to pay tax on them. So what can you do to save more money in 2013? If you're already employing the standard money saving tricks, that is working out your budget, how much is coming in, how much is going out, and you really have tried to get the best value you can from money you're saving on food, going to the discount supermarkets, thinking about planning your shopping, not wasting any food. You're comparing interest rates to get the lowest mortgage rate, the lowest insurance for your home, for your car, the best deal on gas and electricity, broadband, mobile phone. You're buying where you find the lowest price through cashback sites, paying for as many goods and services as possible by cashback credit card. If you're still finding that this isn't enough, that your outgoings are higher than your income, or you really want to save up for something, a trip you want to do, money for future, paying into retirement, saving up for a deposit on a property. How are you going to make more money? How can you improve your finances? Well, I've looked at five options to investigate. The first one is investing in stocks and shares. Now, if you have savings sitting in accounts where they're earning a rate of interest after tax below inflation, you may decide to try your hand at share trading, where the potential return is much higher than the interest you could earn on a bank or building society savings account, but there is risk to your capital. If you put your money in a bank savings account that's covered by the Financial Services Compensation Scheme, even if the bank or building society goes bust, you will get paid your money back. Whereas with stocks and shares, stock market, if the price drops, too bad. Now, I'm not keen to have more money in stocks and shares. I already feel I have a lot of cash invested in the stock market through my stakeholder pension, which I don't know what's going to be worth at the time I want to retire because it depends on the value of stocks and shares. So I personally don't want more exposure to stocks and shares. But you've also got the possibility of putting stocks and shares in an ISA so you don't have to pay tax on the money you make from that. So it's certainly something worth looking into. Now, you could earn more through employment. You can search for a better paid job, seek promotion in your current job, see if you can work overtime. You could find an additional part-time job or set up a business. Of course, that's partly dependent on your skills, the availability of work, and other commitments that you may have. For example, if you're going to have to pay for childcare to do overtime or take on an additional part-time job, how much are you going to be left with in your hand? Because if you're already using your tax-free allowance in your main job, then you're going to have to pay a minimum of 30% in deductions, 20% tax, 10, 11% in national insurance on any extra money you make. So you have to think how much I'm actually going to make out of this. Is it going to make a difference? Because you have to consider it in terms of quality of life. If you're going to be knackered working all hours, if it means that you're hardly going to see your kids or your family or your friends. Because it's difficult to come up with the right balance. Of course, we could all save more money if we lived in a hovel, did two jobs, never went out, just ate porridge and drank water all the time. That's not really the point. What most people are trying to achieve is a balance where they get the most out of their money, but they have some kind of quality of life as well. Now, I think if I was strapped for cash, looking for a part-time job would probably be my preferred option because it wouldn't interfere with my home life, and it wouldn't be a risk. If I go out to work, I know I'm definitely going to make more money. Now, another option, if you need to improve your finances, is to become a landlord. If you have savings that are hardly earning any interest, you might decide to use them to buy a property outright or take out a low rate buy-to-let mortgage. Because although low interest rates are really bad news for savers, they're good news for borrowers. So if you have a decent deposit, can shop around to get a decent mortgage rate, then it could be a good way to make money to rent out a property. Again, there is some risk because maybe house prices will fall more and you may not have tenants in property all the time. Your tenants might not pay regularly. You might have problems getting them out if you want to sell the place. You might take months to sell the place at a lower price. But if you buy sensibly, and there is a solid demand for rented property because a lot of people don't want or can't afford to get on the housing ladder. So especially in cities in the UK where there are a lot of students, people working there, the chances are that your property will be rented out and you could make a reasonable return. And if your tenants are half decent, it could all work out quite well. So it could be quite a good way to make money. Another way to improve your finances is to downsize, to move to a smaller home, perhaps further from the city centre. You'd be paying less for your mortgage and rent, your heating, council tax bills, maintenance would all be lower. So that does seem a good way to save money. Now, we did downsize when our sons left home. We moved from our four-bedroom house to a smaller house. Now, it was a positive thing financially because the difference in price between the larger and smaller house, we put it into our savings and lower running costs. I wouldn't like to downsize again because I work from home, my husband's retired, and I feel that an even smaller place would begin to feel rather claustrophobic. But if we were cash strapped, that would be my second option for improving our finances, to move to a smaller, cheaper place. Now, another way you can make more money is to let out a room in your home. If you have a spare room, you can rent out a room and earn up to £4,250 a year tax-free, which is quite a nice little earner. Of course, it depends on the size of your home. Do you have a spare room, or would that mean that some people in your household would need to start sharing a bedroom to free up a bedroom? But if your house is large enough, maybe you would enjoy some company. You would feel more secure having another person living in the house rather than living alone. For some people, it's probably a good option. Now, while it's quite a nice little earner, I'd rather not share our home. I value our privacy. I would prefer to move to a smaller home than to have a lodger staying with me. But as I say, for some people, it could be a good option. So these are my five tips on how you can improve your finances if you're already employing the usual money-saving tricks. Some of them can work out well, and I think to some extent you don't really know how you feel about it until you do it. I mean, when we downsized, it did seem a logical decision, but because we did it when our sons went to study and we moved to a different area, I feel that we saw less of our sons than we would have because, let's be honest, we know that kids, when they leave home, most of them are not that desperate to see their parents. But they might also come home to see their friends because they feel comfy in the family home. But if you've moved to a different area where your kids don't know anybody, then it's even less reason for them to visit. And yeah, we did have the money sitting in a bank in our savings, but it was just a pain shunting it around, chasing the highest rate. So, if I'm perfectly honest, I probably would have preferred to stay on in the bigger house, but then it would cost more. I'm just trying to highlight that some things you don't know how you'll feel about them until you do them. But if you need the money for something, then something has to give. It's a very personal decision of what you're prepared to do for extra money. As I say, for me, going out to work would be the preferred option because I wouldn't be risking any of our money, tying more money up in property, losing my privacy. So that would be the option I would go for. But then where we live, there aren't that many part-time jobs, and if I don't know what I would be able to find, but that would certainly be my preferred option. So I hope you found this podcast interesting, giving you some tips, some things to think about how you could improve your finances. Thanks for listening. Do join us again soon. You can read all our tips on helpmetosave.com, and you can subscribe to our podcast and to our monthly newsletter. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.